from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, man, let's go. That is what... That was it, bro. That was it last night. The Sacramento Kings, the 2023-2024 Sacramento Kings got punched directly in the mouth by the Los Angeles Lakers in crypto.staples.com arena at their building. It was 37-18.
19-point deficit.
That's ball game. And they cut it to 9, and then they spent the rest of the game stuffing Anthony Davis in a locker. And Austin Reeves.
Well, Austin
and
Reeves
D'Angelo Russell
has been stuffed in a locker before, you can tell.
Yeah, man.
He's that guy.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
What the hell? It wasn't even I don't think I've seen the Kings do it this year against the Hawks, but I've never seen a game get so lopsided one way so early and then so immediately become lopsided the other direction.
Yeah, I rarely tweet out things like no show, which is what I tweeted out in the first quarter.
That's what it was.
They no showed the first quarter.
The first 10 minutes of the first quarter.
I thought it was interesting because you've been asking for 48 minutes of basketball. Every coach asked for 48 minutes of basketball. And it wasn't.
No.
They just chose the right 36 minutes to throttle somebody. Like, yeah. Holy cow, look at him go. Hey, that's fun. Look at that. Shout out to, like, Davion Mitchell comes in and just starts launching threes.
Four for four?
And then didn't shoot anything else ever again. Never again. Shout out to Keon Ellis, who came off the bench and just provided just crazy energy. Like, mm-hmm. super, super good energy. Mm-hmm. Like, they had a bunch of guys step up, and then you had the star of stars step up. And that was De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, really, really fun game to watch, Kyle.
Yeah, man. I was blown away. And the fact that it gets to 37-18, D'Angelo Russell makes a three, and you said, well, hang on, that wasn't at that point. That was in the fourth quarter. But D'Angelo Russell hits the three to make it 37-18. That was with a minute 52 to go in the first.
Minute 52, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a 19-point game. It was, and then all of a sudden, there's defensive 3 seconds. Malik Monk hits a free throw. De'Aaron Fox gets fouled, gets to the free throw line, hits both. Fox comes down after an offensive foul by Jackson Hayes. Fox comes down, little layup. De'Aaron Fox had 32 points in the paint last night, I heard Deuce Mason say.
Wow.
And that's 32 of his 44 were in the paint, including two there in the first quarter. And then Trey Lyles comes down. He gets a layup with the and one. And De'Aaron Fox, of course, hits a little jumper at the buzzer. And by the end of the first quarter, it's 9 points. And all of a sudden, you're going, hey, this is a game again.
Yeah.
Even if it's 18, 15 at the end of the first quarter, you're like, man, But that was the start of the turnaround. From that point, from 37 to 18 forward, the Kings were dominant in every single facet.
It's almost like the last like 3 minutes of the third quarter of the last game against the Bulls, where the Bulls like turned on the Jets to end the third and went on like a 7-0 run to cut the lead to like 14 going to the fourth. That's what it felt like. Like all of a sudden, like one team has figured it out. Really, you know, like overall, just super impressed with almost everything they did. You could see like Sabonis couldn't score early, but he kept hitting the glass. And then he started setting guys up. And next thing you know, he had, at one point, I think he had 2 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And then they figure out ways. Like the other team makes an adjustment to try to take something away. And all of a sudden, the Kings are rolling again. So, yeah, super impressive. That was Sabonis now is 9-0 against Anthony Davis in his career. Shout out to Bleacher Report for making a beautiful graphic that says 9-0, and it has Anthony Davis and Domantas Sabonis next to each other, except for they have Anthony Davis on the 9 side and Domantas Sabonis on the 0 side.
But it does say Sabonis versus Davis.
Yes.
So it's clear.
I'm just saying.
I'm not going to complain that Bleacher Report is tweeting something like this. That's all. That's all, man. We can. It's baby steps, right? It goes from, wow, nobody says anything when the Kings do this.
Yep.
But, okay, they finally said something. The graphic's a little weird, for sure.
Yep.
A little misleading. But, alas, that's a step in the right direction.
It's like when you
We'll worry about graphic design being our passion later.
Exactly. It's like when you watch a highlight reel of that game, it probably had every jumper that LeBron James took. That's and like, oh, and by the way, the Kings won by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's LeBron cutting it to 12. All right. Game's over. Still, God, dude, I don't want to spend, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's going to come up a couple times because it's just, LeBron's 39. And he was the only player last night. He goes 31 points, 5 boards, 13 assists. And he was the only player last night that it felt like the Kings didn't have an answer for. D'Angelo Russell, nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Austin Reeves, nothing.
Rui Hachimura did have 29. Rui's just
Rui was good. You're
Rui's
right.
Just a weird matchup for the Kings.
Yeah. Rui's just tough in general.
Well, yeah, except for the fact he doesn't play defense or rebound.
That's fine.
Like he is kind of like, hey, I'm just going to go out there and score. I'm scoring tonight. You're like,
what happened last night was what I want more of from De'Aaron Fox when applicable. The Lakers have nothing at the point of attack. And defensively, really, their defense is, hey, funnel it to Anthony Davis and AD help.
Yeah.
Like, you do it. And he can't do that when he's dealing with Domantas Sabonis in the way the areas he's playing on the court. And it was just De'Aaron Fox breaking down the first defender, getting into the paint, easy bucket, or getting to the line. He shot 10 free throws last night. That's not right. Sorry, 5 free throws last night.
Yeah, he only shot 5.
I was looking at the Kings. They made 10. But he shot 5 free throws last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think for him to score as many points as he did and to only get 5 free throws is pretty impressive. And for most of his points to come in the paint. And, you know, I know at one point he literally is looking at the play where he gets tripped up and they take the ball from him, he's on the ground. He just looks up and he's like, that, oh, they called him for a kick.
Yes, I don't understand it.
That is a foul.
Yeah.
And the guy's just looking at him like, what are we doing here?
I thought for the most part last night, I thought the officiating was fine. They let them play in a lot of spots, but there were definitely some very clear, obvious, and one opportunities. That call that you're talking about where Fox gets tripped and he gets called for kicking.
Yeah.
There's some strange officiating. But overall, it wasn't as egregious as I've seen.
Well, but, I mean, the Kings had 12 free throw attempts. They had 25.
Yeah.
And the Kings were up for a good portion of the game. Points in the paint, Kings 76 points in the paint to 50, Kyle.
Jeez.
And you get to the free throw line 12 times?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that's...
It wasn't great, but I I did think there was a portion of the game where the Lakers were really trying to like grift fouls and they were not getting them. And it's like, okay, that's fine. If you're going to let them play on both ends.
Yeah.
No, no, it wasn't. It wound up not being a problem.
I think especially I love how you use the term, the foul grifting. It's something, I mean, Austin Reeves just tried and tried and tried to get foul calls. It was like, hey, man, how about you just play the game? Just play it straight up. You end up with 18 points. Six of those came when the game's over with two threes. Like, the game's over, and it looks like he has a much better game than he actually did. But for me, that's just not, it's a poorly constructed team. And sure, could they catch the Kings and beat the Kings by the end of the season? Maybe. But that game last night was so huge.
I don't buy it, dude. I don't.
Well, that's huge, though. They now have a four-game lead in the loss column. Yeah. But it's really five because you own the season series 3-0.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. I looked this up just now.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox, 44 points on 5 or fewer free throw attempts. This is going to sound like a big number, but when you consider every NBA player who's ever played in any game ever, it's not that big of a number. It's only happened 97 times.
Okay.
In NBA history.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dominique
Wilkins 3 times. Klay Thompson 3 times. Michael Jordan 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Steph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times.
Mm.
So Kobe did it 3 times. Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Larry Bird. You have to be good to do this, is what I'm getting at.
No, I think to score 44, you got to be good. Yeah. That's kind of like part of scoring 44 is you have to be good. I know Fox, he missed a shot late that would have put him at like 47. Yeah.
Would have been his career high.
Yeah, his career high, he's stuck on 44, and Keegan Murray still has him by 1.
That's tough.
That's tough.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
Speaking of Keegan Murray, we will get to that.
Mm.
I got a gripe.
You got a gripe.
Wally Szczerbiak is on this list?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Wally Szczerbiak. Stone Cold Assassin Wally Szczerbiak.
What? Hang on. I need more info on this. So 119-195 win. He went 6 of 7 from 3. He didn't shoot a free throw. Scored 44 points without a free throw attempt.
What?
That doesn't happen very. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's happened 6 times.
Okay. Is one of them the Klay Thompson game?
Yes. It's actually Klay Thompson against the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. Is that the game where he scored 60, but he only dribbled the ball?
No, like that was against the Pacers.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
29 minutes.
Wally Szczerbiak, well known for his dissing of Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
And then getting called out for it.
That was bizarre.
It's kind of what he's known for now. It's not for being an NBA basketball player.
Yeah.
It's just straight up for not knowing about Tyrese Halliburton.
That was a tough look for our guy.
Yeah, not great.
Congratulations to De'Aaron Fox for tying a record that Wally Szczerbiak also has.
All right.
He's done it.
You've done it. Congratulations.
No, it was a great win last night, man. I don't even want to get into the big picture stuff. I'm still not bamboozled. I will still not be like, oh, they turned a corner. But that doesn't matter. We are at the point now where you're looking at the standings, you're gunning for the number 6 spot, and I actually want to get to a standings conundrum that I'm currently having. But you just need to stack up wins, man.
Yeah, just win.
And last night was, outside of, what did we say, the first 10:08 of the game, for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The Kings played about as well as you can play, and they made the Lakers look like a back-end play-in team.
Yeah. No, very good stuff.
And
very good stuff.
That's what you love to see. Let's talk about why things went down the way they did last night. We've got 6 quick thoughts from James Hamm coming up next. We will dive into some of the minutia of last night's dominant Kings win. There's a team atop the West that could come tumbling down. We will tell you about that. And I've got a standings edition of Would You Rather, an NBA standings edition that we will get to as well. Lots coming ahead on ESPN 1320. We're with you till noon. It's the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader.
With James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it is. Nice win for the Kings last night. They needed that.
Yes, it did. 130-120.
And if you're a Warriors fan, You're also rooting for the Kings last night. Golden State, now the number 9 seed. Watch out.
Oh.
Here they come.
Right behind the Dallas Mavericks.
How do you lose by 52 to the number 1 seed in the East and then play the number 2 seed in the East and win by 35?
Well, Giannis didn't play, right?
He did.
Oh, he did?
He did play. He very much played.
Oh.
Chris Middleton did not.
Okay.
But yeah, Dame, Giannis, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, who cooked.
Again?
Love Bobby Portis.
Hey, you're a big Bobby Portis fan.
I do. I have been for a while. I loved him at Arkansas, too.
Okay.
I'm a big Bobby Portis guy. All right. You know what else I am? I'm a big James Hamm guy. We got 6 quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has 6 notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's 6 quick thoughts.
I forgot to fill up my water. That's your bonus thought at the top.
Hydration.
Hydration is key.
It's key.
All right. You know what else is key? Whatever James got for us. Number 1.
Superstar Fox. Fox showed up and tore the Lakers a new one. The Kings All-NBA guard kept the team afloat and then went to work. He finished the night with a tremendous career high, tying 44 points, chipped in 4 assists. Kyle, that was a masterclass.
It was awesome.
Like, yeah.
He was awesome. He was
like more.
He was like, he was their best player by far. And we talked about common threads with the Kings yesterday, and it's like, man, they just kind of lack size and depth on the wings in an era where wing plays. The other common thread here is when De'Aaron Fox is the best player on the court, the Kings are really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, and there's no question. On the court with Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Domantas Sabonis, name that star, De'Aaron Fox outshined everybody by so much. It was crazy.
Here's the most impressive part from De'Aaron Fox last night. 9 points in the first quarter, 11 in the second quarter, 12 in the third quarter, 12 in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
Just relentless. Yeah. It was all game. And then he was doing it on the defensive end, too. Mm-hmm. There was one sequence where he's guarding Austin Reeves, and Austin Reeves got nothing for him. And then Fox takes it down on the other end and drives by Reeves and gets the and one. It's just, man, it's the best player on the court.
Yeah, if you had to guess, Kyle, which one of those guys represented Team USA, which one would you think it was?
I would think it was Fox.
Yeah, me too.
All right, number 2.
Playoff Malik.
It wasn't, if you missed that. Go ahead, number 2, sorry.
Playoff Malik.
Yeah.
Malik is a special talent. He loves playing against his former team. He took off in the first half, dropping 19 of his 26 points before the break. He added 5 rebounds, 8 assists, once again making his case for sixth man of the year. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. He was. Yep. I mean, I don't know what else to say about Malik Monk.
The Lakers miss him.
Ideally, there's 2 things. One, do the second halves worry you? Like, I know he hit a huge 3 last night, but he was 3 for 9 from the field in the second half, just 7 points.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, he's trying to fight through. You can tell, like, we saw the shooting slump, the 3-point shooting slump. Mm-hmm. He's trying to fight through the middle of the season, the dog days of the season, and just what that does to your body. Again, Malik is being asked to do more and more and more each year.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually takes a ramp up, and you would have hoped that he would have got that out of the way when he was young, but he just didn't with Charlotte, who to me is like one of the worst teams in the world in bringing along talent and not being able to maximize. And so now we're getting to see sort of maximize Monk, but it's going to come in bursts because he's just not quite there yet. He's super close.
There's a bigger picture conversation that we can have about Malik Monk in a bit. I want to move on with 6 quick thoughts here.
Yeah.
But I want to have a kind of zoomed out Malik Monk conversation later on in the show. Okay. Number 3.
Ownership. Domantas Sabonis came in 8-0 against Anthony Davis all time. He made 9-0 with another huge game. 44th straight double-double. 22nd triple-double. Both of those lead the NBA. He finished with 16 points, 20 rebounds, 12 assists. He's getting super close to the Kings' all-time record, which we thought was 29, but it was really, I think, 46. And now here he is at 44 consecutive double-doubles.
Yeah, the double-double thing doesn't move me. The fact that he dominated against Anthony Davis in that way.
Yeah.
And rendered Anthony Davis, he was useless. That is a top 75 NBA player of all time. That is a player we talked about yesterday. Like, man, he's been to this, he's all NBA this many times and all defense this many times. And he looked like a G leaguer last night.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor. Like that was, Domas has been great all year. He's had some really good performances. He's had some not so good performances. Last night, to me, was the best game he's played all season.
Okay.
That includes when he scored 30+.
Yeah, it's up there. I mean, just the domination of AD is crazy. And it, on the defensive end, watching him move his feet, watching him move in space, was like, hey, look at that. He won the defensive player of the game.
Yes, he should have.
Yeah.
He was really good on that end.
I thought it would go to Monk for taking that knee, which, again, the refs tried to call that the wrong way, and then we're like, well, I guess it's not LeBron, so we don't have to call it, you know. Like,
okay, look, can I time out? They made a bad call and changed it when it got challenged.
No, that's true.
I don't think that was a super egregious thing where they were standing at the table like, I don't know, guys, like, he committed an offensive foul, they missed it on the floor, and they changed it.
Yeah, but was it the game before or two games before where they made a bad offensive foul call against Trey Lyles, who took a charge just like that,
mm-hmm.
went back, reviewed it, and then made up something about his torso moving? His torso's moving because he took a knee to the ribs.
I have no idea on that. Yeah. Couldn't tell you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just know there's plenty to complain about with the Lakers and the officiating. I didn't think that was one of the more egregious ones.
Yep.
It was a bad call, but they changed it. Shout out to Mike Brown, by the way. 2 for 2 on challenges.
Yes.
Come on.
Go, Mike Brown.
Come on. Number
4.
Thank you.
Make it rain. Davion Mitchell came out firing from deep, knocked down all 4 of his 3-point shots in the first half. He finished with 12 points. He didn't have any others, but he's also pesky on defense. I thought, again, a really nice performance by him. When he doesn't hesitate and he just plays the game, he is a different player.
Yep.
That's it.
That's what it comes down to, man. I don't know if he is better than Keon Ellis or not. I don't know if this is a stretch where, yeah, hey, he's just knocking down his threes, so he looks more viable offensively, or if that team meeting really spoke to him and he feels more confident and empowered to do what he needs to do. But it feels like the last 3 games he has been really, really effective. And if you've got Davion Mitchell being effective and you've got Keon Ellis being effective, and now you have a legitimate, you have like 4 guards that you're trying to fit into a rotation, that's a good problem to have. And it was not a problem 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
we were so worried about the scoring. Just think about that last week, the week before, is like, hey, they're getting no scoring off the bench.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that's not a problem anymore. The bench woke up.
62 against Minnesota, 50 against the Lakers.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's you love to see it. Number 5.
Made an impression. Trey Lyles didn't have a huge night, but he still managed to post 7 points, 5 rebounds. The cool thing, 6 rebounds. They gave him another rebound later. He ran a plus 14. Mike Brown went to him. Mm-hmm. Played 30 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he was, you know, crushing it from the outside. He 0 for 2 from 3. But I thought he defended AD well. He defended LeBron James well. Like, the best you can.
Sure.
And he just showed you that, like, look, if this is who he's going to be, the Kings are a better team. The Kings are a much better team when Trey Lyles has the Trey days.
It was like this was, we talked a lot yesterday about the lack of depth and size on the wings, and it felt like this was Mike Brown's answer, was like, hey, Trey Lyles is kind of the closest thing we got to another lengthy defender against this team that is, you know, the Lakers have good size and with Hachimura and LeBron and AD, and it's here. It's Trey Lyles or Kessler Edwards, and just rolled with Trey Lyles and worked last night.
Yeah, Trey's starting to also, he's getting the 50-50 balls. He's hustling. He's diving.
Yeah, he just does
floor.
All the right stuff.
Yeah. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
And when you're up, what did the Kings get up last night? 20? 19? What was their biggest lead? Was it 22?
Lead was 22.
Oh, bad number. No, when you're up 22, you can kind of afford to do that. But I also think that part of the reason they let these leads slip away is not only defensively, but it feels like they don't do things like get the 50-50 balls. They're not doing things like setting screens and moving on offense and doing the things you need to do to continue scoring the basketball. And I think that's another reason you saw him go with Trey Lyles last night.
Yeah. Really good work by Trey.
Yep. Number six.
3-0.
Yeah.
With win over the Lakers, the Kings secured the season series with one game remaining. They also push the Lakers down in the standings with 21 games remaining. Sacramento holds a 4-game lead over the Lakers in the loss column and a 2.5-game lead overall. That's big because it sure did feel like that was going to not be the case when we were watching them in the first quarter.
Yeah, three and a half. What? So the Lakers are, would you say, four back in the loss column?
Four back in the loss, but realistically five.
With 21 games to go for the Kings.
Yeah, but the Lakers are 18.
Yeah, I mean, that's not completely insurmountable, but the Lakers would have to get stupid hot and would need the Kings to play very, very poorly.
Yeah.
So they are all but out of the picture. Not quite. I'm not crossing them off just yet, but they are way, way back there. They are way down there. Good for the Kings getting rid of them. All right. What do we want to do next? We want to keep talking about this or we want to talk about the Spurs?
I don't know. It's up to you.
Spurs tonight.
We got all kinds of things to talk about.
Okay. I want to talk about this Malik Monk thing, but I'm not quite done with it. Okay. Let's talk Spurs next because a great win for the Kings. We've seen it before, and then we've seen them play a shorthanded team that they shouldn't even be close against that they lose to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look ahead to tonight a little bit, and then we'll continue reveling in the win. Over the Lakers last night. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
The Sacramento Kings trying to avoid the pitfall of the season. You get a great win like they did last night against the Lakers. And then you come back and you lose to a team you have no business losing to. And that's where they're at tonight. Sacramento at home at Golden 1 Center taking on the San Antonio Spurs. No Victor Wembanyama. And that somehow, with the way the season has gone for Sacramento, makes the Spurs more scary.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this Kings team. They just have this knack for losing to teams when they aren't at full strength.
Well, and they beat the Spurs at Golden 1 to start the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those games where we went in going, hey, this is, you got in the rest of the All-Star break. This is a Spurs team that's just playing out the string. The Kings are trying to turn on the Jets. And then they really struggled to beat San Antonio. And that's why going into tonight, you go, okay, they should win this game handily. But San Antonio shorthanded, been a problem for the Kings this year. They lost to the shorthanded Hornets. They lost to the shorthanded Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
The shorthanded Bulls. All these teams, they're on the back end of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
It's a little, it's dicey for me, man.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, though, you have to stop with the excuses and just go out and beat teams that you're supposed to beat. And San Antonio Spurs are the worst team in the Western Conference. They're 13-49 on the season. They're missing their superstar young player. And so all of these things add up to, like, this is a game you have to win. You got to find a way to get through, and you've got to gear up. And it doesn't matter who played what minutes last night. Other guys need to step up. You know, for all the minutes that De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray played last night, hey, Kevin Herter and Harrison Barnes, they barely played. Should have fresh legs coming into this game, and that's what you need. You need everybody to step up and play their role and find a way to help you get over the hump against a team that you should not even, I mean, this team plays hard, but you shouldn't even really look at as like real competition.
Can I just say what needs to be said here?
Yeah.
The Spurs without Victor Wembanyama are the worst team in the league.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even, my buddy Sean is a huge Spurs fan, has been his whole life. And all he does when he texts me about the Spurs is complain about the roster around Victor Wembanyama. There are, I'm not going to super insult anybody. I was going to say there are not that many NBA players. They're all NBA players.
Yeah.
But there are not many players on that team who are going to be contributors on a team that is contending.
Okay.
I think Jeremy Sochan can play. In fact, here, let's just go down the projected lineup.
Yep.
Who's starting at the point?
Trey Jones.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Jones plays the game a lot like his brother. They're guys who, you know, don't turn the ball over. He turns the ball over more than his brother does. But again, guys that you know, kind of game managers. 5.8 assists on the season to 1.4 turnovers. That's pretty strong. That's like close to a 3-1. I mean, 4-1. That might even be a 4-1. So, but he's not a danger from the outside. At the two, we got Devin Vassell. Vassell is
good player.
He is quality. He tore up the Kings last time they played each other.
Yep.
Kings have got to figure that one out because that's the guy who's going to try to bust you up again.
Yep.
I would take him on the Kings. Keldon Johnson. I'd take Keldon Johnson on the Kings. You know, he's averaging 15.8 points per game. I don't know.
I guess.
I mean,
he's fine.
I would.
They're all role players at best to me.
Yes.
Thrust into these starting roles where they're playing 30 plus minutes a night instead of 12 to 18 minutes a night.
Well, I'll say a couple of things. Like in the Spurs defense, it's really difficult to on the fly put a roster together around a kid that you have no idea what he's going to look like when you put him on the floor. Like the fact that he's averaging, that Victor Wembanyama is averaging 20.7 points, 10.3 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 1.3 steals, 3.4 blocks. You had no idea that that's, you thought that that might be who he was in year two or year three, but year one, he's a superstar. I don't know that anyone saw that coming. So like, how do you put a team together to support him? And he's growing. There's a lot of things he does wrong. We watched him, you know,
forced a lot of shots against the Kings.
Yeah, a bunch of weird mid-range shots and stuff. So eventually you're going to have an idea of how to build a team around him. But for day one, you just put a team around him and plug and play guys and see what you have.
Yeah, this is not to blame San Antonio. No. This is just where they're at in their rebuild. They're figuring out, okay, is Keldon Johnson going to be on this team? And I know he just signed a contract, but is he going to be on this team long term over the next 5, 6, 7 years? Same thing with Devin Vassell, who also just got paid. But is Jeremy Sochan playing a substantial role on the version of the Spurs where they are contending and Victor Wembanyama is an MVP candidate? Let's say in 2020, let's call it 2027.
That's a good question. Like, I like Sochan.
Like, he's fine.
I like him. I think if you put him on the Sacramento Kings, he's kind of like that defensive-minded, pesky guy who does all the dirty work. That would
Aaron Gordon Light.
Yeah, he would actually make sense for the Kings. The fact that he can't shoot the three really all that well is a bit of a concern. And I feel that way about quite a few of their players. Like, again, Keldon Johnson, I'm not saying, hey, go get Keldon Johnson to be your starting power forward.
Right.
But I could see a way in which Keldon Johnson could be a very, very good version of like Carl Landry.
Yeah.
How he was with the Kings and the Rockets and a couple other teams.
Yeah.
I would take Sochan. I would take Trey Jones as a backup point guard. He's, you know, he's got a little bit better size, but more but of a notice, true point guard.
But you notice as you're saying all this, it's all I would take him as a backup. I would take him as a reserve.
Totally,
I'd take him as off the bench. That's kind of the point I'm making.
Yeah, I would also like
kick back. They're also all super young.
I would kick back a little bit too and say that without Victor Wembanyama, I still think this is a better team than, I don't want to say the Pistons, but I do want to say Washington.
That's fine.
Because they're a better coach team and they play within a system. So just the system alone can hold up a little bit. I don't think that, like, again, Zach Collins competing with Domantas Sabonis tonight, that's not going to look pretty.
Right.
And, you know, Sabonis probably needs to come in with like a face mask on because he's going to get popped a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it probably won't be all that pretty.
Yeah.
So, but again, I like Chetty Osman. I like Julian Champagne. Like, there's a bunch of guys on this roster that I'm like, huh, yeah, I would take them.
Yeah. And just to this point, to your point, rather, Devin Vassell's 23, Keldon Johnson's 24, and he's like an old guy. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Sochan, 20, Wembanyama, of course, 20, Trey Jones, 24, Zach Collins, 26, and he's ancient on this roster, Malachi Branham, 20, Jetty Osmond's 28, but Champagne, who you just mentioned, 22.
Yeah.
Like, this just, they're all so young and figuring it out, and that's kind of where they're at, and you can see that when they play. There's some games where they look remarkable. They beat down the Thunder 3 days ago, 4 days ago, wherever that was. They smoked Oklahoma City. And Wembanyama kind of dominated that game. It certainly dominated the matchup with Chet Holmgren. So that's all great. But then you remove Victor Wembanyama from that equation, and I have way bigger questions about what this team is going to look like.
No, I totally agree. I think it's interesting too because the California Classic, we get to see a lot of their young players play.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of the beauty to the California Classic. Before they get to Summer League, they come into Sacramento and you get to see them like go out there. And the guy I would try to sneak in and steal from them is Dominic Barlow. I think that kid has all kinds of potential. He's a 20-year-old. I would go try to, like, I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for him, but I would probably give up a second or two and try to sneak him out of there because I think he's going to be a ball player. Yeah, he really, really played well in the California Classic every time we saw him, and just really, he's working to refine his game. Yeah, undrafted, but a top prospect guy that kind of fell apart, if I'm not mistaken, who had kind of a weird high school whatever situation.
Did he go play internationally?
No, I don't think so. No. He's
where
on
did
a 2-way
in college.
Oh. Oh, he played at one of the prep schools. Yeah, he played at St. Joseph's Preparatory School in Philadelphia.
Which counts as college?
It counts as for your one and done. Yeah.
Oh. I had no idea.
Also, no, he played for the he didn't play for the Ignite. He played for the other team.
Oh, he went straight to the G League.
Yeah, he went straight to the G League.
Got it.
He played for what's the team in Florida?
Couldn't tell you.
There's another G League squad that he played for, I don't know why it's not coming to mind.
Shooting 49.9% from three this year.
Yeah,
limited. Only played 13 minutes a game in 24 games, but yeah, that's the exact kind of player. 6'9", 220, might shoot it a little bit.
They've got a bunch of them, Heidi.
Yeah, Just go.
Yeah, you see them play in the California Classic, and you see all of their great young players. You're like, hey, I like it.
Just go talk to Pop tonight. Just say, yeah. Pop.
Hey, well, let's slide that kid over here. Yeah.
Right. What's your matchup of the game with Victor Wembanyama out?
Oh, I want to see Domantas Sabonis and Zach Collins.
I don't.
I know, because you hate Zach Collins' face.
I'm out on Zach Collins, bro.
I know. He's got plenty of elbows, man.
I would like to see Keegan Murray against Devin Vassell.
Oh,
can they slow down Devin Vassell? What did he go, like 10 of 13 or 12 of 14 or something from the field?
Yeah, he tore them
in their last matchup. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Keegan Murray on the second night of a back-to-back. He didn't make a major impact offensively against LA. I would like to see him on the second night of this back-to-back make not only an impact offensively, which we'll talk about when we get to keys to the game, but I would also like to see him play better defensively.
Yes.
Tonight against Devin Vassell specifically. Because if you're shutting down Devin Vassell, okay, all these other guys are going to play hard and they're going to do all the right stuff and they're going to, you know, make some mistakes, but Jeremy Sohan's going to get some points from the dunker spot and Trey Jones is going to knock down a three or two or whatever it is. But Devin Vassell is the guy who the losing path for the Kings is, oh, Devin Vassell had 40.
And the only reason we know that is because he almost did that to him last
night. Correct.
Yes.
Really close.
You limit Devin Vassell, and that's probably ball game.
Yeah. All right. March Madness. We got that for you tonight at 6:30 p.m. for the final time in the Pac-12 regular season. ASU at UCLA. That is coming up later tonight. And then on Saturday, got some top 25 college hoops for you. Big basketball day Saturday here on ESPN 1320. So it's number 15 Kentucky at number 4 Tennessee in that SEC battle. That's at 12:45. And then at 5 p.m., a big game for the Kings with the Suns visiting the Celtics. The Kings, of course, trying to chase down the Suns in the standings. So that'll be a huge game for Sacramento. That's all coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. All right, let's shift gears and get back to what happened last night.
Yeah.
That was way more fun than talking about how they might lose to the Spurs. I don't know. I was impressed.
I was super impressed as well. I thought that the spirit, the way that they recovered was so encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way that they held on mm-hmm. when things started to get a little dicey, a little weird mm-hmm. late, just the way that they fought through. I thought it's great when you look at the box score and you see, you know, players like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk have these huge games, right? So what do they combine for? Like 70? Yeah. 26, 44,
yeah,
70.
70.
Right? So that's great, but that's not all that I remember from that game. I remember Keon Ellis coming in and like making a huge impact on the floor early in his stint. I remember Davion Mitchell coming in and launching away with confidence and hitting shots and saying, no, we're not going down tonight. This is not what's happening. Mm-hmm. As secondary players, not that no I'm going to play defense and De'Aaron Fox is going to save us. It was no, I'm going to be a willing participant in what's happening tonight, and mm-hmm. that's big to see a guy like Trey Lyles come in and play 30 minutes against two like first ballot Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. like one that should just get like in automatic entry into the Hall of Fame now. Like, we should just consider LeBron James a Hall of Famer now. They mm-hmm. should just like enshrine him now. It's fine. Like, everyone would be okay with it. Every once in a while, there's one of these guys, right? But to have everybody jump in and be part of the conversation and be part of what's happening, to see Sabonis still carrying the weight mm-hmm. that he has all season, but doing it in a different way, playing mm-hmm. defense in a different way, these are all things that I think were really, really encouraging about this win.
Yeah, it felt sustainable. It wasn't, oh man, Kevin Huerter got super hot from three and he made 9 threes. And that's what carried Sacramento, or Trey Lyles had a huge night, or whatever it was. It was De'Aaron Fox and Domas and Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's going to win you games when those three guys are playing really well offensively, and then you add in what De'Aaron did defensively. We've already talked about the defense Domas played last night, which I was super impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
I when those three guys are cooking, the Kings and De'Aaron specifically, that's the MVP candidate on this team, or to me, the 1A on this team. And he took over last night. Every big spot, every spot where it felt like, oh, this is okay, the Lakers are getting back into it, you really need a bucket here. say, there's De'Aaron getting into the paint and scoring, not relying on the three. They're not relying on Kevin Herter or Harrison Barnes or somebody else to knock one down. It's, hey, they need a bucket right now, and De'Aaron Fox is going to go get it. And I loved to see that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the fact that it was him going to the basket again and again and again and again.
Yes.
The Kings scored 76 points in the paint. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's bananas.
That's so many points.
It's absolutely
crazy.
And
he had almost half of them.
Yeah.
When your point guard has almost half of your 76 paint points,
that's pretty solid. That's pretty solid.
Really, really good.
You know, just like that, he's back over 27 points a game. Like, look,
yep.
I think the one thing that we may learn throughout like this next 20 games, that there is a possibility that De'Aaron like ran out of gas for like 4 weeks around January, right? And he had some he had some problems just like figuring it out, but now he's back. And if he stored up energy during that time, and he comes out of, you know, like and finishes this last grouping of games that, you know, I think everyone feels like he can, then you're looking at the potential to have a player who is a little well rested and like really, really ready to go. In his last seven games, Fox is just tearing it up. He's averaging 31.7 again.
Mm-hmm.
He's averaging 7.1 assists. He's averaging 5.9 rebounds, 2.3 steals. He's shooting 53.3% from the field. His 3-point percentage is down to 29.8 over that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that shows you the potential for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're hoping for. That you're hoping that De'Aaron Fox is going to peak at the right time. And the right time is right now and heading into the playoffs. And if he can be great for a 40-game stretch here, not just the, you know, the 20 games remaining, but the 7 or 8 games that he's already gone through, and then you hit the playoffs with him at full tilt, then the Kings have a shot like
they have a puncher's chance in every series.
Yeah.
Because then we've talked about this a million times with De'Aaron.
Yeah.
But with him specifically, if you have the best player on the court in a playoff series, you have a chance to win 4 out of those 7 games every time.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm right there with you. The thing that jumps out to me, and I was a little bit wrong on this with Fox, is early in the year when he was shooting such a high percentage from three, 40%, even when he dipped down to 39, the high 39s, and he would shoot 10 or 11 threes in a game, I would see people say, that's too many threes. I need to see him drive more. I need to see him breaking down defenders and getting into the paint more.
Mm-hmm.
And my argument was always, well, no, you keep shooting them when you're shooting it at that percentage. I will take whatever. If you're going to shoot 40% from three, give me all the volume. I shouldn't. That's a number that you will take. On the other hand, I see where that was, at the time, it was right. But when he is attacking and he's getting downhill, A, he's unguardable. But B, the 3-point percentage is a big deal for De'Aaron, not for volume. It's just for the threat of it.
Yeah.
It's because now teams go, hey, he's shooting, what's he at, 37% now?
Just 36.7.
So just under 37%. That's a credible 3-point shooter that a defender can't just sag off of.
Oh, no.
And say, yeah, take it. We're happy. We'll live with you taking this 3-pointer. Because you can't. Because they'll knock it down.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he needs to shoot 12 a game. And in fact, you mentioned that 3-point percentage has gone down. He's taken in the last, what is this, in his last 6 games? I can count. In his last 6 games, 7, 6, 4, 5, 7, 6. Instead of what he was doing early in the year where we have 11, 15, 16, 8, 10.
Yeah.
I think that 5 to 6 number is probably about where it should land. As long as he's getting downhill like he did last night.
Yeah, and I think when he starts getting downhill and he starts getting to the basket, the Lakers game is almost an anomaly, right? He's going to get to the free throw line a lot more. When he's playing that type of basketball, you look at his 5 free throw attempts, how many of those were on and ones last night?
Probably 3 of them.
Yeah, 3
he
of them.
3 and ones.
So there's only one other time where he got fouled and got sent to the line.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I would like to see a point where he's just like in, you know, optimized De'Aaron Fox is probably 6 threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of these paint touches and getting to the rim.
Yeah.
And then if he adds in the assist totals, if he starts flinging the ball around like what we saw in the Chicago game,
yeah,
we start seeing different aspects of his game. Like that's what I think everyone should still love about De'Aaron Fox mm-hmm. is that we still don't know what the ceiling is.
Yeah.
Like, we thought it was 25 point something games points per game, and that was last year's number. Also, that's not the ceiling, and he can not only get better as a scorer, he can get better as an assist guy, he can get better as a defender. Mm-hmm. There are so many aspects to his game that he still has the potential to get better, and the fact that he's 26 and we're still talking about a player that can show improvement, that's pretty cool.
He's getting very good at picking his spots.
Yeah.
And not thinking, I have to go, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's a player we've talked about quite a bit recently.
Uh-huh.
But he has exactly 31 points in 8 games, and he scored 30 plus in 44 games. That's what the Thunder need from him night in and night out.
Yes.
For the Thunder to be where they are in the standings, they need Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to look like an MVP candidate and scoring 30 plus a game. There are some nights where the Kings need De'Aaron to go get 44.
Yeah.
If De'Aaron has 30 last night, I don't think the Kings win. I don't think the Kings wind up winning that game. Maybe they do. But it was the aggressiveness and the stamp he put on, I mean, every quarter. We talked about it. 9 points, 11 points, 12 points, 12 points.
Yeah.
In each quarter. It's that intensity and setting the tone like that. That's what he can do. He is the leader on this team. But it's, okay, he had 44 points, 4 assists last night. But then you go, you talked about the Chicago game, 20 points, 10 assists. The game before that, 27-6. Before that, 33-7. Before that, 28-9. Like, he's picking his spots. He's going to go get his 25-plus, his 27-plus.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's going to be games where, yeah, he gets 20, but, hey, he's dishing out his assists. And then there's going to be games where he goes and gets 44, and, yeah, he's not assisting as much because the other team just can't guard him. So you're going to go score a bunch.
Oh, totally.
And that growth in him as a player is a really, really big deal.
Well, and keep in mind, he did miss 2 games with a bruised knee, and that bruised knee is still a thing. It's not mm-hmm. like it went away. But he scored 44 points with that injury that's still sitting there, you know, and what he put up the night before, like 20-10,
mm-hmm.
a couple of nights before. So, yeah, his numbers are impressive. He has 7 games a season over 40 points. 44, he's still stuck on his career high. But he's got 21 games a season over 30. And he's a player with just unlimited potential, and you love to see it. You just need to, he needs to see the stats that when he's off, the Kings have no chance, you know, at all. So, I mean, it's not just his scoring, but like when he's not like being that guy.
Setting a tone.
Yeah.
That's what he did last night. That's what I thought was great.
Mm-hmm.
He got 9 points in the first, he closes out the second quarter with a bucket, and then he didn't let off the gas. He goes and gets 24 second half points and kept LA at arm's length.
Yep.
And it's not, you don't have to be clutch player of the year to have an impact on the game and have an impact on winning. Those 12 fourth quarter points were a big deal. Those were huge.
Yeah.
As the Lakers were really storming back and trying to get in that game. You can be a quote unquote clutch player without being in clutch time, less than 5 points and 5 minutes left.
Well, that, and I felt like the way that he scored, the fact that he could just get to the basket at will, mm-hmm. it was demoralizing.
Oh, big time.
It's like, why is no one stopping him?
Yeah. You get it. You worry, and LeBron drives in and he goes and scores. And okay, cut it to 15. And then right back down, back to 17.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, no wasted motion, no wasted time.
Loved the pace. It was just, man, really, really good performance. Hey, you can listen to our show. We have a podcast. Not a separate podcast. But this show, if you can only listen to a little bit of it and you want to make sure you catch the whole thing, or if there's something you want to go revisit, make sure to check out the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show. Download and subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's the insiders. It's this show. But there's like a whole legal thing. I don't know. I didn't pass the bar. We just had to call it the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
I'm not an attorney, but I do sleep next to one every night.
Yeah. I'm not an attorney, but I've watched some television.
Yeah.
Objection. Hearsay.
Hearsay.
All right. Anyways, we got to get to what was good, and then we'll get into some of the bad and ugly as well from the Kings win last night. And we'll take a look around the NBA and take a look at the standings. I've got a fun would you rather coming up for the Kings in the standings.
Ooh.
And I'm excited to get to it right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.